Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brave American heroes. As we honor them, give us a renewed spirit of love for them and for our wonderful nation. Open our eyes anew to the sacrifices they have made to keep us free and able to worship you freely in peace without fear of persecution. Thank you for our beautiful land, a land of abundance, freedom, and liberty. Thank you for our veterans and active duty heroes who put their lives on the line daily. Help us to honor their gifts to us by not allowing ourselves or our elected officials to skip into lethargy and ungratefulness. Help us always to be thankful for our Christian heritage, our blessed country, our wonderful Savior. Keep us vigilant, keep us thankful, and keep us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every man. Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in today. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, the ladies are coming. They're going to be singing, "This Land Is Your Land."
Day, we honor all who serve, answer to a service call. Soldiers young, soldiers old, fought for freedom, brave and bold. Some have lived while others died, and all of them deserve our pride. We're grateful for the soldiers who kept thinking of red, white, and blue. They fought for us and our rights. They fought through many days and nights, and though we may not know each name, we thank all veterans just the same.
At this time, Joanne Peachy is coming to play. She's going to play an Army song called "The Caissons Go Rolling Along," the Marines hymn, a Navy song called "Anchors Away," the Air Force song, and the Coast Guard song called "Semper Paratus."
Thank you.
If you just tuned us in, we'd like to thank you, and this is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. It's brought to you over WSKE 104.3 FM. Once again, the ladies are coming. They're going to be singing Father Bless the USA. This Tuesday will be Veterans Day. We hope that you're thankful and you express your thanks to those veterans that you know and to God for this great country. In just a moment, our pastor's wife is going to be giving the children's story, but just before that, the group is going to be singing Battle Hymn of the Republic.
His truth is marching on. church attendance. Jim made sure all the chairs were set up for the elder board meeting. They all met twice a month with Pastor Bill to discuss the church and to make sure that everything was running smoothly. Jim had been an elder for 20 years and loved being a part of the church leadership. He took the job very seriously and had some concerns about the recent attendance at the church. It seemed attendance was down, and he had several ideas about how they could boost it. "Good evening, Jim," said Pastor Bill, taking a seat at the conference room table. "Hi, Pastor Bill. How is everything?" Jim asked. "Everything is great. It's a beautiful night, don't you think?" "Well, I suppose it could be more beautiful," Jim said, still adjusting chairs around the table. "How so?" Pastor Bill asked. "I guess it can wait until everyone else gets here, but I am deeply concerned about the recent attendance numbers," he said. "Oh, yes, that," said Pastor Bill. "I'm sure we'll discuss it." As the others arrived, Jim made sure the doors were closed and sat down so they could get started. As usual, they opened the meeting with prayer, and then the discussion was open to anyone who had a concern. "I think I speak for everyone in the room when I express my concern over the current attendance numbers," said Jim. "I've noticed some dwindling there as well," said Mark, another elder. "I'm out of town much of the time, and it seems as though our numbers are down more and more each time I return." "Does anyone have any ideas about how to bring in more people?" asked Edgar. "I think I do," said Jim. "I believe we should focus on doing more for community outreach." Jim opened a folder and began handing out pamphlets to each of the members, including Pastor Bill. "If you look at this event, you can see that there's a good chance it will bring in many people from around the neighborhood. A church not far from here sponsored a similar event a few weeks ago." "I remember that," said Mark. "It looked as though people came in droves." Pastor Bill opened the pamphlet and listened to what the others had to say about it. "The great thing about an event like this is that we can also sell tickets so that even if people don't come back, we can at least make some money on the actual event itself," said Jim. "Will we be able to charge enough per ticket to cover the cost of the event and make at least one mortgage payment?" George asked. "If we can, I like the idea." "Millie has already agreed to make some baked treats and sell them at the booth," said Jim. "Of course, that's pending an approval for the event." Pastor Bill refolded the pamphlet in front of him and folded his hands as the men discussed the possibility of the event. "Pastor Bill, you haven't said anything about this. Would you care to weigh in?" Mark asked. "I'm trying to figure out exactly what we would be offering the community," said the pastor, leaning back in his chair. "This looks like it could be a wonderful family day for the community and a great way to get our name out there," said Jim. "I like the idea that we might bring in some money," said George. "I agree that our numbers are down, and at this rate, making the next two mortgage payments will be rough." "So the answer to my question is that we are offering the neighborhood a day of family fun?" Pastor Bill asked. The men all nodded and the room was quiet. "And in return, we charge money and make a few payments," he added. "Is there something wrong with that?" Jim asked. "Not necessarily," said Pastor Bill, "although it seems as if we are far more concerned about making money for the church as an organization than caring for it as a living organism. I don't see that we are neglecting anyone by hosting an event such as this one," Jim pointed out. "The numbers don't lie. If we don't do something, we may end up in real financial trouble." "Well, before we decide to turn our church grounds into a circus for the day, I feel I should remind you all that church growth is about far more than numbers. We are also here to minister to the broken, feed the hungry, and help the lost to find their way," Pastor Bill said gently. "If we put on an event of this magnitude, just imagine how many newcomers we will attract," said Jim. "With all due respect, the reality of the situation is that we are having trouble paying our bills with the current numbers. We need to consider doing something to boost attendance." "Has anyone here noticed anything missing from the planning of this event?" Pastor Bill asked. "I haven't once heard the gospel mentioned here tonight. Have we forgotten that the gospel is the power of God's might? Have we forgotten that God is the true vineyard owner, that he does the planting, watering, growing, and reaping? I don't think any of us are suggesting that the gospel is less important just because we want to attract people to the church," said George. Well, let me ask you all this, said Pastor Bill. Is our real goal to create a fun day for neighboring families while we make a few bucks, or to present the gospel to a spiritually broken world and then glorify God for his healing? The room fell silent as Pastor Bill let them all reflect on the true mission and ministry of the church. We are not just members of this church body, but the whole kingdom of God. We have a responsibility to God. If you all want to bring the gospel to our neighborhood while we have a family fun day, well, then I'm all for that. If our goal is to sell tickets and hope people stick around long enough to hear about God in the future, then we have some more thinking to do. What if we don't charge people for the event and just trust God to pay our bills? George asked. That would take real faith. Is that what we do in our own homes? Mark asked. Do we simply have faith that God will pay our bills for us? Pastor Bill didn't like the idea of our making money, and you don't like the idea of our having faith, said George. I'm out of ideas. I am not against the idea of doing something for the community, said Pastor Bill. I just think we should know better by now than to leave God out of it. Where's his ticket? This is his house, after all. The room fell silent once again, and Jim suddenly felt as though the idea should have hit him sooner. What about a revival? He said softly. Now you're talking, said Pastor Bill. Now we're giving God top billing. Jim apologized and began to collect the pamphlets he had handed everyone at the beginning of the meeting. No, leave these, said Pastor Bill. When we can afford to put on an event like this, I think we should discuss it again. I'm always in favor of family-centered events, as long as we include the father of our family. So for now, we are going to plan a revival, Mark asked. A show of hands revealed that they were all in agreement. Jim, would you please close us in prayer? Pastor Bill asked. We will discuss the revival at our next meeting. Heavenly Father, Jim began, thank you for leading and guiding us to direct your church in the way you desire. Please help us to remember that we are only here to do your work. While we do have bills that need to be paid, Lord, the bigger picture is always spreading the gospel of Jesus and his saving love. Thank you for your patience with us as we stumble, and thank you for Pastor Bill's guidance. Father, please bless us and continue to guide us in the way to best serve you. Amen.
There are many churches that do what is called a bait and switch, where they do something to try and get people to attend, and then, oh, we got you now. Well, the church needs to make attending church inviting. But to do it just to raise money for the church, to pay off a bill or something like that, the church exists to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring people from darkness into light, from being lost to being saved. That is the purpose. And of course, revivals are there to awaken the church, the Christians. That's what that word means. Re means again. Vive means live. Live again. In other words, to bring life once again into those who once knew or do know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we begin to get a little bit lazy. We begin to fall away. We begin to get too comfortable in the world. And soon spiritual things are not a major part of our life. They become second, third, fourth, fifth place. Just like last week, that story about watching the services on TV instead of attending, if you can. We'll get ready to write the Bible question down. We're going to give you that next question after we give you the answer to last week and those who had the right answer. Last week, I asked the question, how old was Levi when he died? And I never thought about it. Someone said they were looking for Matthew. Matthew's other name was Levi in the New Testament. But this was Levi in the Old Testament. Someone asked, they were looking for the wrong place, but they did get it. Levi, according to Exodus 6:16, was 137 years old. Lisa Miller, Ron and Dolores Boffman, Vaughn and Beverly Mills, Ralph and Wilma Bowman, Paul and Joanne Peachy, Randy Miller, Mark and Deb Rosentrader, Mike and Patty Feaster, Rick and Tanya Valentine, Arlene Price, Tasha Foltz, Dante Vargas, April Elliott, Jess Elliott, Aaron Elliott, Doris Four, Leslie Miller, Marlon and Donna Jean Lynch, Mark and Linda Householder. All these had the right answer, and we appreciate so much. They're calling the answer in and giving us the answer. For next week, I want you to tell me, in Luke's gospel, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. Which hand was it that he healed? You only got one guess with it. You can't just guess. You got to look it up and find out which hand it was, because there's only two answers that could possibly be. So in Luke's gospel, that tells you where you're going to be looking. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. Which hand was it that he healed? And when you found the answer, give me a call, 814-652-6409. You're listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over the Everett radio station, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. We invite you to come worship with us here at Clear Creek. We're located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're in the Breezewood area, Missy Beal, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Then in the Fishertown area, the people of the Spring Hope Church invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30 every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hindman Way, Brother Nathan Elliott, pastor of the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Then out 26 north of Everett, out Caudill's Corner Way, Kenny Heinisch, pastor of the Yellow Creek Church, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Now, this evening here at the Clear Creek Church at 6 o'clock, normally our service is at 7, but at 6 o'clock, we have a man coming from the Turning Point organization. That is Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated. His organization, man coming from there, going to be talking to our young people, our Christian young people, how to stand up for Jesus. That's at 6 o'clock. The service is a little earlier because we're going to have a time of Q&A after he speaks to them. So if you don't have a Sunday evening service, or even if you do and you want to come, we invite you to come. Young people, come out for that. Also, beginning tomorrow, 7 p.m. through next Sunday evening, 7 p.m. each night, revival services here at the Clear Creek Church. Brother Wes McDonald is going to be an evangelist. 7 o'clock each evening, next Sunday morning at 10:30 worship, he'll be speaking. Come out and worship with us. Allow God to speak to us and draw us close to Him. This morning, I'm going to read from John chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. And this coming Tuesday is Veterans Day. Because of that, we had the patriotic songs. And we want to talk about an issue that's been coming to America. People who call themselves patriots. And we want to address that issue here. In John chapter 19, it says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he there is Pilate, saith unto the Jews, Behold your king." Jesus was presented there to him. "But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar." Now this morning, we want to talk about this thing that's been going around called no king. No king. Protests and all that's going on. The political upheaval. And some people are confused about things. Well, in our message here this morning and in the scripture, Pilate brought Jesus out to the crowd that had been brought before him to have him killed. They wanted to kill Jesus. So Pilate knew that they did this for spite. So he scourged Jesus. They flogged him. Now, the scourging that they did was pretty horrific. They usually had three leather thongs. At the end of it were metal barbs, and the back would be torn up. And the flogging was such. History tells us that some of the people that were going to be crucified never survived the flogging. They died from that. Their back was shredded Some of them that internal organs were exposed because of the flogging was so terrible. So they did that to Jesus. Here they bring him out. He was beaten and bloodied and so on like that. Pilate does that to try and invoke a little bit of sympathy in the people in Jesus. So he brings him out. But the Pharisees stirred the crowd, and they cried for Jesus to be crucified. Now Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the people answered, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." If Jesus would have started a revolution or a revolt to remove Rome from them and establish another Jewish kingdom, the Pharisees would have joined. But Jesus came to save the people from a greater king, Satan. And the people, especially the Pharisees and the priests, didn't want that. Like people today, they want what they want, and they don't want to be delivered from Satan and his power. We've seen recently that movement called No King, and it's referring to President Trump and his efforts to eliminate the gangs, the illegal aliens, crime bosses, and anarchy in many big cities. And the police in these cities are either held in check by liberal politicians and governors or mayors, or they are in collusion with the liberal agenda. I can't imagine the police doing that. We have good police around here. We have good state police, town police, and some might not agree with, might think they're bad. Maybe you got a speeding ticket or a parking ticket or something like that. Maybe you were drunk and driving under the influence. You don't like it because you got caught. Or maybe you're doing a number of other things that you should not be doing. And because you got caught and they caught you, then you don't like them. But in some of these cities, there are police that they're just as corrupt as what these liberal politicians and so on are. The type of thing, the collusion, this type of thing occurred in Chicago years ago when the mob ruled the city. And they bought the police chief, the politicians, and many other officials off so that they would have free reign in the city. It was a time what was called the Prohibition era to eliminate alcohol. But many or most of those in power did not want to eliminate the devil's brew, so they fought against it. The federal government stepped in, and they hired a group of men that eventually ended up being called the Untouchables because they could not be bought by the mob. I remember years ago watching on a TV program, they had this old man standing there, and he was the last remaining of the Untouchables. And the interviewer said, "Why were you called untouchable?" He said, "We couldn't be bribed by the mob and their money." Well, a similar situation exists today in many cities that are ruled by liberal mayors and governors. They allow illegal aliens into the city. They allow them to get driver's license to drive big trucks. They can't even read English. They can't even operate those big rigs. And they persecute Christians that hold the Bible as right and proper because the Bible says many things are wrong and they are promoting it. They are allowing it, like homosexuality wrong, homosexual marriage, transgender, sex reassignment. All those things are wrong. And when a Christian stands up against them, we are called homophobes, we're called xenophobes, we're called intolerable, we're calling terrible names because these people have a king. That king is Satan. They have another king over them. They don't want Jesus to be king. These liberal cities allow criminals to rule, just like the mob in Chicago years ago. The law-abiding citizens then suffer. Then, when they begin to see that the federal government is going to uphold the law, they protest and riot and spread false information to stir up their slaves that worship at the altar of liberalism and political correctness. This happened in Chicago years ago. Liberal politicians and those in authority, when the federal government sent in the untouchables, they fought against them. They fought side by side often with the mob, with Al Capone and those in that time there. or they didn't lend a hand to help, or they let the criminals loose. This is what is happening today. They get as many stooges as they can across the land, and they set a movement called No King. They hold rallies and protests and even riots wherever they can. All this in an effort to enlist unknowing people into their ranks against truth and righteousness. The church and pastors have been negligent in their duties to educate the people in righteousness and holiness, and described and presented in the scripture of the Bible. And sometimes they're not promoting unrighteousness, but unfortunately they're telling people you shouldn't get involved in politics, you shouldn't vote. Christians shouldn't do that. That's what they try and tell them. And I don't know where they get that in the Bible. They don't get it from any of the Bible that I've read. I've read the Bible through from cover to cover numerous times. They don't get it from that. They have to pervert and twist things to say Christians shouldn't get involved in anything like that. And unfortunately, they persuade people, because let's face it, you have to be brave to go out there and stand up against that wind that is blowing in America today. Too often they preach a watered-down sermon, a feel-good sermon. Yeah, I want people to feel good, but I want them to go to heaven. And they have denominational-ordered sermons instead of truth from God's Word. Instead of challenging people to get right and live right, they try to make them good followers of the church. Give money, attend regularly, don't give the pastor any problem. Just snooze while he preaches. Make the attendance roll look good. Make me look good before the bishop and all the other ones out there. Come back again next week and we'll do it all over again. Too many pastors don't participate in the elections. They don't challenge the people with the truth that they need to participate in the election and vote biblically. God says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." In other words, they don't know the truth because the truth is being watered down, twisted, and not presented as the Bible presents it. Some people say, well, God isn't political. Well, that's a bunch of hooey. You haven't read the same Bible I read. It says God sets up kings and God takes down kings. He is political. Some say, well, Christians shouldn't be in politics. They shouldn't be police and all that. Oh, so you want the most corrupt to be the politicians. You want the corrupt to be the police, just like in Chicago. Oh, I talked to a man once. No, that isn't what we want. Well, what do you want? Well, we want good people. Then you want Christians in there. They do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. Just as Jesus told the Sadducees. They talked to Jesus. And they said, this woman married this man, and he had a number of brothers, and they all died without giving children. And he said, when they in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Well, Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's the way a lot of people are. They know just a little bit, and they think they know it all. Well, doesn't the Bible say? Yeah, it does say that. Now, you could take Scripture out of context. You could get rid of a lot of people. I could give you three verses of Scripture to get rid of a lot of people if they follow exactly what it is. It's all Scripture. The Scripture says Judas went out and hung himself. And then another portion of Scripture, Judas said, go do thou likewise. And another portion of Scripture says, what you do, do quickly. You know, they're all out of context, all portions of Scripture. And that's what they do. They're not. And you see, the preachers, the pastors often are the ones that are behind some of these problems that are going on because the people don't know. They're listening to what the pastor has to say, and the pastor doesn't study. See, it takes more than just a casual reading and studying of Scripture to deliver the truth to people. You can't just take denominational stuff and push certain things and then and declare it as truth. It takes comparing Scripture with Scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things, and then applying these things to everyday life. This is what it takes. Now, these protesters and rioters, they say, no king, no king. And they try to say they're like the early founders of America when they cried, no king. But you see, they're just like their liberal counterparts. They do not know history or the truth. Now, yes, in America, when we were getting ready to revolt against England, the Revolutionary War, to be free from England and the tyranny of the king, that was part of their cry. Part of their cry was, no king, no king. But, see, these people are leaving a major and a very extremely important part out of that battle cry. Yes, those, whenever we started the country and they were crying, no king, they forget the last part. They said, no king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. That was the battle cry in the Revolutionary War. No king but Jesus. Well, these people are just saying no king. Well, what they're saying, they're trying to protest against President Trump, trying to get the illegal aliens out of the country, to try and squash the tyranny of sin and debauchery in the cities that are running rampant and looting and rioting and taking over the cities, and citizens can't come out of their house. They can't let their children go play in the playground because of the drugs and everything like that. They're just programmed because they are duped. And some of them are just in collusion with the liberal agenda. They say, no king, no king. Well, the early fathers, no king but Jesus. The early fathers wanted free from the tyranny of the king of England and the forced religion upon them. See, that was another part of it. The king of England, this is the way you worship. This is the church you go to. Well, you see, this is what's happened in the liberal agenda today. You have to go to our church. You say, oh, they have a church? Oh, yeah, they have a church. You have to, we grab this homosexual marriage and they stuff it down their throat. Transgender and stuff it down their throat. Sex reassignment, stuff it down their throat. Abortion, stuff it down their throat. Just like in this election we just came through, these signs all around. Vote yes to put these liberal judges back in that want to kill babies, let prisoners out of jail, and all these other things. The other sign says, no, don't vote them back in. Take them out. Let's get good people in there. But you see, the liberal agenda wants their push their religion on us. The early fathers said, we don't want the king pushing his religion down our throats. We want to worship God according to the scriptures. And so they said, no king but Jesus. Well, you see, these people, they want the sodomite marriages. They want illegal aliens. They want transgender, sex reassignment. The way they're doing it is just the way Karl Marx said to do it. Make up bad things about those holding the truth and get people into a neutral type of thinking. See, what you do, you want to try and get someone to not buy this product here. Just say you want them to buy Chevys instead of Fords. So you say all kinds of bad things about Fords. You know, they have this trouble, there's this trouble here like that. Now you got them in a neutral position where you say, oh, there's something wrong there. Then you start building up, oh, the Chevys do this and so on like that. Now I'm not promoting one car over the other. I'm just giving an example how they do it. They get you into neutral thinking, then they put it over the other way. That's what these protests are. Think bad about President Trump and what he's doing so we can fill your head with the wrong type of things. See, then they get you in a neutral thinking, then proclaim lies as truth, and they change the mindset of the people. They say, we don't want a king. But in reality, they already are serving a king, and that king is Satan. They don't think they are in control. They think they are in control. But Satan is the one that's in control. They are his puppets. He's the puppet master pulling the strings behind the scenes. They are what Stalin, years ago, Marxist man, he called these people that he duped into following what he wanted to do, he called them useful idiots. Just, they follow, they're simply cannon fodder, willing to be used for their evil agenda. And so, they say, no king. This means they don't want the rule to rule. They want to rule their own way. And that's the plan behind Satan's scheme, to rule the world. Get people to think that they are in control. And in reality, he's the one that's in control. Since they are controlled by Satan, they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They're saying like the Pharisees of old, we have no king but Satan. Now, you see, the Pharisees, we know king but Caesar. But these people are saying, we want no king but Satan, because they're following his schemes. They don't realize it because they are blinded by Satan and his wiles. Paul says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And those who know the scripture, those who are following what the Bible, they are not ignorant of his devices. This is the devices. It's what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. These are the devices of Satan to control people. These people are ignorant of his devices. They are ensnared by him. They are his puppets. Our founding fathers did not want a king to tell them how to worship God and other things that the King of England did contrary to Scripture. People don't know because they don't know history, but the founding fathers wrote a list of the many things that the King of England was violating in the Scripture, and they sent it to him before the revolution started. You know, I wish they would begin to study a little bit, but you see, these young people go to the universities, got these perverted and vile teachers in there, and they fill their heads with this bunch of stuff. It's like cutting the top of the head off, open up, and pour in all this garbage that they're believing, and then put it back together and send them out. And they don't realize they're puppets of Satan. Now, you see, they did, the King of England did contrary, and they sent it to him, and he would not listen to them, so they rebelled. And we have America today, based and founded upon the Bible and Christian principles. But that isn't what this movement's about. It's not basing it on Christian principles in the Bible. No, it's basing it upon Marxism and satanic ideas is what it's on. They knew that if Jesus was king of people's lives and the laws of America, there would not be anarchy. See, that's what's happening in many cities today. There's anarchy. They also knew that one day Jesus Christ will be king over this earth. And they wanted people to be prepared for that coming kingdom. Our founding fathers did. Therefore, they had the Bible taught in the schools and universities, and the government was established upon the true king's laws and teachings, that of the Bible. See, our founding fathers, they knew if the Bible was taught in school, then those children would grow up to be good citizens, and also, the most important part, they would know the Savior, Jesus Christ, and they would be shown the way to heaven. But they don't want that today. See, this movement does not want that. The liberalism does not want that. They want their own way. They want to be in power, just like Marx, Stalin, and all of them. They want the power so they can go their own evil and pernicious ways. And they get these puppets out there to do it. And they don't realize behind it all is the great puppet master, the Satan. Our country is and has been in deep trouble since liberals began taking office and making and forcing their perverted religion upon people. If they want to protest no king, then they should do it as citizens enlightened by the Word of God and not duped by false teachings and Marxist doctrines. Now, I don't agree with everything that the present president is doing about some things, but I know Jesus is the king, and I'm not going to be duped by Satan, who wants to be king. Now, the question we all need to answer this morning is, are we right with God? Have we surrendered our ideas and wills to the God of the Bible, to Jesus Christ? He's going to be king one day. Where are you at this morning? Father, I pray for all those listening to my voice. I pray for the unsaved especially. They might recognize their lostness, come to you. I pray for Christians and pastors everywhere, Lord. They would awake to the fact that they need to follow the Bible and not the Satan and the Marxists and all those liberal theologies. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll be right back.